Okay. One of the things I have is talking about guidelines for the facilitator as buddy calls. And then, you want me to go ahead and say everything I have?
Yes, please.
Okay. And then Ann emailed in to talk about maybe an online manual on facilitation tips.
Yeah, we'll
but then...
Oh, sorry, Tony. We'll probably need to skip that one unless she actually shows up on the
call. Okay, that's what I thought. And then there were some questions, kind of technology-related questions about the blog. Like,
okay.
Is it possible to get an email if a new post is made?
Mm-hmm.
And how to get the RSS feeds on a Mac.
Okay, great.
And then just even how to write a post. Someone is asking about that.
Okay, yeah, you know, and good. Yeah, I'm hoping we can have a little conversation about the blog, so that's perfect.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I have.
Okay, anyone else there have something that you'd really like to see addressed today, if we have time?
Dave, Tracy?
Tracy?
I wrote in yesterday. I had an interesting conversation with one of my groups that hasn't been thinking about her.
Getting pretty word here.
What's that?
I'm not hearing you. I'm getting about every fifth word.
Let me try. Can you hear me better?
A little better.
A little bit better. I might need to call in on a different phone. Is this better?
That's better so far.
Okay. I had a group member that hasn't been coming, and she shared with me the other day how much resistance she has to reflective listening, and so I wanted to talk about that a bit.
Okay. Maybe, Tony, maybe you wouldn't mind keeping the agenda. We can just kind of go
okay.
through this one.
Okay. I got it.
Lori is here.
Hey, Lori.
Hey.
Else with an agenda item?
This is Rebecca. If we have time, we might begin to put in place the policy for the Reflective Listening Buddies program and what the facilitator, like will facilitators only have other facilitators? Chris sent in an interesting idea to maybe assist with that. So if we have time to talk about that, we just need to do it well before July 15th is all.
Okay, that might dovetail really well with the first item that Tony has, so maybe we have a little conversation about that. Tony, the other thing I'm hoping we can do is homework.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
The other thing I'm hoping we can do is to talk for a little bit about what they saw from the homework from last week.
The homework, okay.
Which is, you know, where in facilitation in life do we look for conditioning? Look to conditioning for guidance, and where do we look to center for guidance?
Okay.
Dave, this is Mickey.
Hey, Mickey.
Related to the, maybe it might relate to the blog discussion, but I still would like to find out if there's any way we can solve the problem of some of us not being able to listen to those recordings from the Green Cove retreat.
Okay. You know what, Mickey, I think that one's probably is probably just related to you. How about if you send us a little email to the maybe to the registration office with the details of what's happening?
Okay.
And we can get some IT support in there for you and see what we can do.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Okay.
Hey, Dave, this is Tracy.
Tracy?
I still have not been able to find where the facilitator recordings are, so I'd like some guidance there. I emailed in and haven't heard back.
Okay. Good. Tony, why don't we start down the list?
Okay. So I have the guidelines for facilitator as buddy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know if you want to do that first.
Yeah, that sounds So that's partly what Rebecca's talking about. Actually, Rebecca, why don't we start with what you know about it, and we can kind of go from there.
Yeah. So what I know about it is the reflective listening buddy's facilitator, your facilitator buddy, let's say, is really was put together for us to be able to practice drawing out and clarifying questions, and as well as reflective listening. And so, and from my understanding, it isn't really to venture off into more than that, like not to really get into guidance. And just to be real, just real clear, not rigid or anything, but just to be clear on the guidelines for that. But on the other hand, we should be trying to do that, not just sticking purely to reflective listening, but really looking for those opportunities to ask things and drawing out questions.
Yeah, so it's an opportunity for us to branch out a little bit and practice in a way that might not be appropriate with, like, a regular buddy in the program. But I think it's a good point you're making. We don't want to slide off into it's really allowing conditioning in to figure that suddenly it's not anymore that we're there to facilitate the way that reflective listening is facilitation, but we're there actually to offer guidance or attempt to help somebody with something. I wonder if just because I think that's an important topic, I wonder if anybody else could say it in different words or say it from their experience or anything like that.
This is Catherine.
Catherine?
Hi. I'm glad we're talking about this. I have had some questions about this even since the facilitator's retreat in November, where I sometimes felt myself, I was much too shy about doing anything thing, but at the retreat, but I could feel an inclination to maybe say more. And what I'm experiencing now is that I think sometimes my buddy and I have gone beyond just clarifying and drawing out. I think it's been more directed. There maybe stop short of guidance, such as I might get from a monk or from Sherry, but it feels like kind of a gray area where I'm kind of been going with what I feel comfortable about, and I'm not sure if maybe I'm just being way too strict. Would you like for me to give you a hypothetical?
Hypothetical would be good, or anything that. So obviously you're, in some way inside you, you're seeing the distinction. In some way to help us all see what that distinction is.
Okay. for instance, say I'm going to kind of paraphrase a buddy kind of change what she said a little bit, that something happened and she felt a certain way and she said, I know there is no reason to feel that way. And for me, clarifying question, immediately I wanted to ask about the no reason to feel that way, what was going on with that, and I was kind of unsure of myself. This was several weeks ago. I was kind of unsure of myself. I didn't ask it. She continued to talk, and then it kind of came to a point where we were on something else. But afterward, it occurred to me that a clarifying question or drawing out question could be, so when you were feeling that, were you getting the message that it wasn't okay to feel that way? Just asking it as a question.
Hang on a second, Catherine. So on that one, when I look at a clarifying question in that situation, it seems more like it's, could you say more about that? Adding thing of your own, basically the only thing you can add that's other than what they're saying is some kind of projection.
Gotcha. Yeah, you're right. Okay, so just strictly, could you say more about that? Okay, that makes total sense.
You might think about drawing out, not just you, Kevin, but for all of us, because I think this is an excellent topic. It's a slippery slope right in there. We might think about drawing out and clarifying really is just different forms of reflecting, mm-hmm. not sort of openings to insert you know, our own points of view or our own projections on people.
Okay, very okay, good. I totally get that. I think if I'm in a situation with a buddy and I think that's what's happening, should I say something? Or should I just let it, what should I do? Like, I think I'm getting more than just, the other buddy is doing more than just drawing out.
Well, I mean, to me, it seems like there's two things we do. One is we attempt to model for in what we do as much as possible what we understand the guidelines are and,
okay.
you know, kind of what's helpful. That thing we can do is if it feels like it's, you know, it's kind of a problem or it's helpful, then we can email into the, in this case, email into the Reflective Listening Buddies program. And then, you know, we can, there's a way that we can sort of sort those things out behind the scenes.
Okay.
Good chance to go to your distinction. I think you were going to make a distinction between, like, drawing out, like a drawing out question and something that felt more like guidance.
Well, you know, well, as it turns out, my drawing out question was was my own projection in there. So that helped clear it up. What I was going to give an example of something that would go too far would be something along the lines of, so you were feeling this way and conditioning came in and told you that was the wrong way to feel. That would feel way too directed for me and way too... But I wasn't seeing the other, which, you know, I'm glad I see now.
If you had not said that, you mean? Or you had not implied that?
If I... What I think... Yeah, what I think... I was trying to give some hypothetical here as to what I felt would be okay and what I felt would be would cross the line. But what turned out that I felt was okay, you pointed out that, you know, was more appropriate would be just could you say more about that because it's totally neutral. So,
yeah.
Okay, so I think I just was not clear and, you know, this has helped. This has helped.
Yeah, good. This is a good conversation. So in the second example, if you had not said anything, I can't actually, well, it's just, what you said a minute ago, but if you had not said anything about the thing that the other person brought in, that does start to get into a little bit of a shaky area because then the other person is sort of making stuff up about your experience.
Yeah.
But if you had that, then that would just be a form of reflective listening. So that's kind of a distinction there.
If I hadn't said anything of my own but just ask a question, could you say more about that? Then I'm not inserting myself. Correct?
All right. Yeah, I think what you're saying is exactly so.
Okay.
So maybe just kind of as a general way of talking about it is just to remember that we aren't especially within the Reflective Listening Buddies program, because we really are continuing to practice getting out of the way, you know, which is the fundamental part of the whole thing. That remember that we essentially that drawing out and clarifying is just another way of reflecting in a way that's a little bit more. Advanced, requires a little bit more skill, but we're not using that as a way to come in ourselves and to try to make something happen. Or, you know, like on those reflective listening based support calls, that's what we're talking about over and over again is, oh, we don't want to do that. We don't want to come in with an agenda. We're not trying to fix anybody. We're not trying to help anybody. We're trying to keep, you know, anything conditions got going about it out. And it's tricky, isn't it, with the clarifying and drawing out because it starts to open up in that direction. Really good thing to be paying attention to, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Hey, Dave.
Got something. Hang on just a second.
Okay.
But as you were talking, I was thinking another kind of subtle form that can take is a suggestion of a place to look. For example, it might be something like, well, you might look at that. Uh-huh. Or, you know, when you said the, I wondered about whether there was a little person who, so kind of making a, which is, can seem saying, hey, look, or, you know, maybe it's there, maybe it's not, but it can actually be a pretty, have someone look in a particular place, especially if you're in a position where someone may be seeing you as really representing practice.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So that would be a good example of where it starts to branch off into another territory, because that puts the person, the facilitator, in the position of kind of seeing where person needs to go and then steering them in that direction, rather than really kind of allowing the person who's being facilitated to stay in charge of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, thanks, Catherine. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, this is Dan.
Dan.
So I run one of these calls with a facilitator buddy, and as far as I'm aware, was doing pretty well at sticking to guidelines. And at the very end of this call, conditioning kind of came in and was like, wow, this is going great. Good job to me internally, and sort of set me away with that. And right at the end of the call, I said something that was clearly not within the guidelines. It was sort of a restatement that to give my own interpretation of what was going on, something that somebody thought my buddy ought to be able to see.
Uh-huh.
And so the good news is I'm really grateful to have had that experience because it was, you know, I got an experience of how conditioning takes me over the line and how that can happen. And the bad news is it's really hard not to review that and give myself and feel like I probably, you know, my buddy will never want to talk to me again and da-da-da-da-da-da. So I just wanted to report that and kind of say that I've been wondering what to do with that because I guess the thing to do with it is just to say it on this call and leave it there.
Yeah, I think so, and then probably let go of it, don't you think?
I hope so. That's what I want to do. Thank you.
Well, it's good. And, you know, I think one of the reasons we're doing this with Reflective Listening Buddies is to have a kind of an environment where it's safe and there's the consequences are really low. For people to be able to experiment a little bit, because I mean that kind of awareness, I mean that's invaluable.
Yeah.
Like you said, to see how conditioning will come in and do that, see the difference between that and what was happening. It sounds like right before, where you felt like you were kind of really on track with the guidelines. I mean, without experiences like that, we cannot get to where we want to go as facilitators. So it's perfect in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I hope I was on track before that. I'm not sure, but I certainly saw this last thing. And one thing that happened is that my buddy just reflected it back to me. What I had just said, and if I hadn't seen it right as it slipped out of my mouth, I might have seen it hearing it back. So I guess I just wanted to report that too.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's very skillful, it sounds like.
Thank you.
Hey, Dave, can you hear me? This is Phil.
Hey, Phil.
I have a kind of more like a technical question. Do we have to sign up for getting a facilitator partner, or on our next session, are we just going to, we will automatically get one? I'm not clear on that because I haven't signed up for.
To ask for one.
I have to ask for one?
Yep.
Okay. For the next, in the next session, the next time we do it?
Yeah, you can just send an email into the coordinator of the Reflective Listening Buddies program.
But now that may change order, right, Dave?
Oh, I don't know. Am I this old news, Rebecca?
Well, if you want one for the remainder of this quarter, which we still have, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, then you're absolutely right. But I think what we were looking at perhaps doing that automatically and just pairing facilitators with other facilitators, and then that be sort of an automatic thing next quarter.
Okay.
Yep.
Logistical stuff to work out because we need the facilitators to some degree to actually help the program function in the way it needs to.
Yeah, and that is sort of a conversation we need to have about whether there are enough people on sort of this other level of practice in the RLB program that can handle the new folks, you know, the new folks. There's non-facilitators that are strong enough to handle new folks. Or if you perhaps want to do something like split facilitators and, you know, half of them take other facilitators and half of them take new folks, and then the next quarter they switch. You know, so there are some ways that we can work around that.
Okay, well, how about if you and I handle that kind of in between you and I? And see what's possible, and then maybe we can get back to the facilitators about next quarter and how it work, how it's possible it could work exactly.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, good.
But am I correct?
Phil, it sounds like in the short term, if you want a facilitator buddy this quarter, send an email, and the rest is to be announced.
Yeah, I see. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dave, this is Tony.
Tony.
One of the things, talking about the drawing out and clarifying questions, I know in my last call with my facilitator as buddy, I kept thinking, oh, I want to do this. I'm going to try to do this somewhere in the call just for the, as much for the practice of it. And I noticed, you know, I couldn't, I'm so habituated, you know, not to do that, or, you know, so used to just trying to carefully reflect. Then I couldn't quite tell, like, when was a, would be a, like, a time to do that.
Yeah, really, any time you want, I think. And other people could speak to this, too. But you might consider, you know, because you're partnered with a facilitator, so everybody knows what's going on. At the beginning of the call, you could say, hey, by the way, I'm going to really try to do some clarifying and drawing out here. So I might the pauses might be a little bit long while I try to figure that out.
Okay.
Or something along those lines. Or, hey, I'm going to try to just do nothing but drawing out and clarifying just for an experiment, or, you know, anything like that you want to do. Here's Jen.
And I would think, I mean, I don't know what other people think about this, but there's wiggle room to be, like Dave said, we don't have to pretend that we're not practicing. We're practicing. And okay. So let's say, you know, kind of back to what Catherine was talking about, so I say something and I immediately realize, shoot, that wasn't what I wanted to say. Seems like it's fair game to go, you know what, can I try that again? And to rephrase it in a way that really is clarifying, instead of if I realize, but since we all know what's going on, it doesn't seem like it has to be any, like, performance mystery kind of thing.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think it's really kind of invaluable for the whole, you can't do that in front of a group because, you know, that you look like you don't know what you're talking about or you don't know what you're doing. But, yeah, it's fun to have, like, a low-impact, low-end way of being able to practice.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
All right, Tony, what's next on our agenda?
Okay, then we have, I don't know if you want to go into the blog, or then there's that Tracy brought up about resist, person hadn't been coming, expressed resistance to reflective listening.
Yeah, let's
or we want to talk more about.
How about let's blog, and we're going to run out of time here after a while. Let's see what people saw about the homework, and then we'll see if we have time for Tracy to do what's going on, and we could potentially talk about it next week, depending on whether or not we have.
Okay, so with the blog, someone had asked if it's possible to get, like, an email notification when a new post is made for the facilitator's blog, like we do for Sherry's blog.
Yeah, I'd like to know that myself, because I have that set up for Sherry's blog. It's really anybody know the answer to that?
Dave?
Yeah.
This is Bob. Yeah, I can set that up for us. Would just
cool.
Be, you know, we add another little box to the facilitator blog that people would put their email address in there, and then they get the updates each time.
Great. That sure would help me stay on track with it.
Okay.
So maybe, Bob, take your time. I know you're a busy guy, but whenever you do that, maybe you could send an email to the program coordinator, and she could just let everybody know what's happened so we can all go on and sign up.
Will do.
Okay, cool. All right. I think the other one was RSS for Macintosh users.
Yeah.
Bob, that might be you too. Do you have any?
Yeah. I could just post something to the blog if that would be helpful there, rather than taking up time here.
That'd be fantastic. Really appreciate that, Bob.
Sure.
Okay, cool. And then, so we would like to start with we got posted on the blog. I don't know if you did. Some guidelines from the monastery. Probably not everybody's had a chance to see that, but we'd like to start playing around with some guidelines for us to use, knowing that we point. Making it mandatory for folks after each group facilitation experience to post something on the blog, just because I think that would be really helpful and supportive for everybody. And we talked about that at the monastery and figured that's something we'd like to try. We thought we'd ask people to use their names on the blog, just because that'll help us know kind of, you know, who's writing in, and helps us kind of keep the thread of what's going on. And the other thing was, now at this point, everybody seems to be really commenting, as far as I can tell, on other people's blog entries. And so I think there's going to be some movement with that in the next little while. But you're welcome to. And if you would like to make a comment, instead of putting it as a comment, like an official comment that just sort of disappears behind the blog entry, you can just refer to the previous blog by topic or by name and as a new blog entry right there on, in the front where everybody can see it. You wouldn't mind, as part of these notes, making sure those guidelines are included. Anybody have any questions about that or comments about that?
Yeah, I do, Dave. This is Tony. I couldn't hear part of that. So were you saying that we will make it a requirement to post after group each week?
Yes.
Okay, and yes, to we need to use our names, and then if we want to comment on someone else's, to make it a new post and then can just refer to whatever post they're commenting on, but it be a new post.
Yeah, and we might find out that's not the way we want to do it, but we thought we'd try that to start with.
Okay, so I've got that all down.
Great.
You said you wanted it include in the notes from the call or on
yeah,
the
because
ground?
Everybody needs
yeah.
to have it.
Okay, I have that much.
Okay, great.
Hey, Dave?
Yeah.
This is Alex. I'm wondering about the accountability piece of the entering your blog entry after each group facilitation. How will folks know that folks are doing that?
We're going to be paying attention to that, I think, Alex.
We are? Okay.
I think... Boy, is that, if there ever were a group of people who could keep themselves accountable, this is the group of people, huh? So if someone's finding that they're not keeping that commitment, which is integral to being on the program, then I'm sure that they would write in an email and say, hey, I'm having trouble keeping my commitment. And maybe if that becomes an issue, we can look on this call about how to do that.
Catherine would like to ask, is it very clear how to make a posting rather than a comment?
Oh, okay. Let's see. Anybody, I mean, just kind of how to post it?
Right. I know how to post a comment. I don't know how to post a, yeah, like, I've posted on Sherry's blog. I posted a comment. But
oh,
I
see.
But
we're looking at it right here. It looks like on the main page, there's just a button that says New Post.
Oh, okay. Then that should be fine. Right.
Yeah, you just hit that post, and then you put a title on it. There's a button for a link, but I don't think we need that. And then there's just the box for the text. What people have been doing have just been signing it, you know, Gusho, and then your name.
Okay.
And there's a orange button at the bottom that says Publish Post. You got to hit when you're done.
Okay.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, any guidance on where the new post button is? I've looked and looked and can't find it.
Okay, we're looking right now. Hang on just a second. We're on, it says dashboard at the top, and then there's kind of all the information at the top, and there's a blue button there. It just says New Post. Right under it says Facilitate You. It tells how many posts there are, and then there's just a button right there.
Dave, this is Jan.
Jan?
Could you say a little more or give us some guidance about, you know, when you say everybody's going to post after the call, are we looking to have that be related to the call, or are we just posting something we're looking at in regard to facilitation practice, or what about that?
It's not to make a post after the call, but to make a post after you facilitate a group.
Okay, I was confused about that. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, because we talked about it on a previous call. Partly it's just accountability to make sure folks are participating, but also it's just kind of a support for looking at what was going on there and how was that, and just helping us all kind of keep attention on our facilitation. And then the other part of it, of course, is we're all teaching each other through that. You know, so reading, we actually have been offline for days at the monastery, but we came into town this morning to be able to go online and see what's going on the blog, and it's really quite neat, amazing, I think. What people are putting up there is really instructive and helpful. So I'm hoping that the blog can be something that will, you know, we can do sort of a self-teaching process through that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, good. So next, how about if we look for a little while at the homework? So the homework was, where do you notice that you look to conditioned mind for guidance, and where do you notice that you look to center or the heart for guidance? And this could be in the context of facilitation and or just in life in general. Anybody see anything about that?
Dave, this is Marie.
Marie?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that because I'd written something different in for the homework assignment. But the last couple of weeks have been kind of difficult for me for, you know, other reasons. And, you know, I was finding it kind of hard to get to center a lot of the time. And what I noticed is the time when it was really easy to get to center was when I facilitated.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
You know, and it would be like just right to center, you know, and then everything looked different, you know, after facilitation,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I felt so here. And so to me, you know, facilitation is communicating with the heart. That's what it really is.
Yeah, that is a really good point. You know, after an experience like that, it always makes me wonder, huh, why is it so hard at other times? You know, it's almost automatic in that situation a lot of times when we're facilitating.
Yeah, because what I was looking at for me is, like, I find a different level of willingness when I facilitate. I mean, right now I'm noticing that, you know, because what was, you know, why didn't I get this much to center 3 hours before? And I was trying to look at what's different. And there's something about being in that facilitator position that there's just this automatic willingness to just let go.
Well, you're required to disidentify, really, because you got to find the facilitator.
Go ahead.
Oh, just the same thing, that you're required to disidentify from whatever's going on in order to step into that role, it seems like.
Yeah, and then it's a model for, if I can do that, I can do that. You know what I'm saying? If I can do that for facilitation, it means I can drop this and get the center.
Exactly, yeah. There really is no reason that we couldn't do that all the time. It's just that
right.
we don't. So in other
right.
words, we could be facilitator all the time for ourselves and the experience that's just happening with this one person. But, you know, there's just so much conditioning that's there that says, no, this is real or it's too important. So it's really great to be able to see that you can actually just easily step into that other place when the circumstances are compelling enough.
Right, yeah, and it gave me a real sense of why facilitation is important in this practice, and I thought, shoot, it would just be really great for me if I facilitated all the time right now.
Uh-huh, yeah, well, you've got people at the store, you've got people at the grocery store, anybody you can find.
Yeah. My husband. Yeah.
Your husband. And, of course, there's the internal facilitation, too, that we talk about all the time.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Marie.
Dave, this is Karen. Dave. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I was going to talk about when I look to conditioning sometimes during facilitation, and it's some, like, for instance, if last week I had somebody that didn't started out sharing that he just didn't agree with the reading and thought there was something missing, and, you know, went, and all of a sudden I get the sensations in my body, and the language is uh-oh. And
no, that one, Karen.
Huh?
I said, we all know that place.
Yeah, and then there's this scramble of where I think I'm looking to conditioning to find a way to fix this because it's not going well.
Right.
And I would say, for me, there's a lot of those sorts of challenges in the group that I'm facilitating. And I would love to not. I would love to stay centered during that. And I'm finding, I recognize that, you know, the sensations. I recognize, you know, and then I'm coming back to my breath. But it feels like a really tricky place for me.
It is tricky. Well. Now, I think I read about that in the blog, Karen. It seems like what you did, and I might be confusing two entries that could be, but I think what I remember is you just opened up to the group. You didn't engage with him. You didn't get into some kind of power struggle with him or anything like that. Didn't get flattened by him. I think it was a him. But instead opened up to the group, and then somebody modeled what it is to share from experience. Isn't that what happened?
Yes. Yeah, you know what? I forgot that I entered that in the blog. So, but yeah, that is. But in that moment when it happens, there is a definite going out of center and scrambling and really having to breathe and trying not to leave myself because it's such a uh-oh moment. And
well, it sounds like what I would project is there's an attempt to leave the moment. There's an attempt to pull you out of the moment on the part of conditioning because suddenly here's a situation that is sort of high energy, you might say.
Yeah.
But what actually happened was it sounded like you handled it in a way that was really skillful, and that's got to come from someplace other than something conditioned mind would come up with.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I forgot that I wrote that. I can go back to that experience as I speak about it, and it's
it's not like conditioning focused you afterwards on what didn't happen instead of what did happen. It's kind of a version of what Dan was talking about a little while ago. You know, these are really, really helpful experiences to be having. You know, have that come up to see everything that conditioning is doing about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, even if it hadn't gone well, it's still really, really helpful. You know, it's just a good opportunity for us to see what it's all about. And then it's extra fun to see that somewhere in the middle of that, while that was going on, was the ability to actually act in a way that was effective and in keeping with the guidelines and really was kind of in alignment with what you're trying to do in there.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Karen.
Dave. This is Sequoia.
Sequoia.
Hi. I just love to share about coming to center, you know, when doing facilitation, and that's been my experience as well. Just, you know, having the worst day and thinking, oh, no, now I have to facilitate, and then sitting down and just really appreciating that that opportunity to come back to the heart and come to center. And I was just seeing in that, you know, it's like what Sherry is, you know, talked about in her training, and doing for the love of others what you will not do for yourself. And I'm just looking, and I don't have an answer, but, you know, being in that place where I can do that same thing for this person, do for the love of her, in the same way that I experience when I come to the group.
Yeah, it's a great thing, isn't it? Well, because there you are sitting in front of the room and you're facilitating the group, and then it's almost like that person who might be suffering is sitting out there in the audience.
Yes.
Getting facilitated, too, as you're talking to her, because you've stepped out of her reality into center, you know, into a place that can see really what's going on. It doesn't have anything going about that.
That's great. That's great. I had never seen that before, but that's true. Two is part of the group. Okay, great. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to...
Tracy?
So it's... Hey, Tracy, I'm going to pass the phone off to Jen if it's not all me.
Tracy?
Sarah?
Yes?
Oh, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. I thought you were... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I couldn't figure out how to post a blog, so I just wrote into the facilitation communicator around what I was saying around my homework, and I'm really, not really, but I'm noticing I have conditioning around feeling like I'm really behind, and I missed the facilitation retreat for the first time, and I feel like no one has come to my group since I've come back from being gone for 2 weeks. And, you know, these voices saying, well, maybe I should take the summer off because I'm too far behind and I can't figure out how to do a blog and I can't find the recordings. And so it's just, you know, and I'm noticing it. I'm still showing up for my group. I'm putting my beads on and self-facilitating. And it's, a, you know, I know my heart is so committed, so I am still going to show up. And it's amazing at how strong... Not strong. I mean, I'm just really noticing a lot of conditioning around feeling behind and that I'm kind of, you know, I got out of the flow and I've kind of lost, the, you know, my group that was coming. And so that's where I am.
Yeah. It's so interesting. It's like, as you describe it, it's almost like a macro version of that micro thing that Karen was describing, where there's something that happens. And then I was struck by Dave reflecting that it's like, conditioning attempts to pull us out of center. And what Karen described is she essentially stayed there and did the next thing. And that's kind of like what you're describing too, that conditioning has this campaign that it's seen this little tiny opening. So in the case that Karen was describing, there's kind of this uh-oh moment of how do I deal with this? In what you're talking about, it's kind of this larger string of things. Well, people aren't coming to my group. I was gone for a while. I'm being told I can't figure out how to post a blog. And so conditioning sees this opening and attempts to pull you. That's so classic. Maybe I'll just take the summer off. But from what you're describing, you're seeing all of that and just continuing right on.
Yeah, and continuing right on. And then the next piece of that is like how, like I know I still have energy to do this. This is so linked to me staying centered, you know, in all of my life. And yet, and then I get a little blank as to how do I get more energy in and maybe find new people. And so there's a fog over how to even take the next step. And maybe I just need to be exactly where I am right now.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to look at. Yeah. Is that a conditioning coming in to kind of that, what do I do about this?
I think so.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I think there's that scramble of, oh, my gosh, I've lost the energy from, you know, my group, and is it about me, and what do I need to do instead of just being with it. And then, you know, there was that person telling me how resistant she is to reflective listening. That I got that information this week. And so, yeah, just trying to take in information and see, make sure it stays in center and not goes to conditioning.
Yeah, and what's so nice about the program, and this is true really in all of practice, is that the structure is there for us. So we don't really have to decide what to do because you're doing, if you will, all the things that the structure make available to you. You're posting on the blog, or you will, now that you know how. No, significant actually, pretty significant that even though you couldn't figure out how to post on the blog, what you did instead was you sent your entry into the facilitator coordinator. You know, that's not to be missed. Then there's showing up for the calls, getting ready for the group, putting your beads on, sitting down to have the group, whether someone shows up or not. So it strikes me that those are the things to do. Those are the parts of the structure that support us. And then so often the rest of it takes care of itself.
Okay, good. Yeah, clear where I need to be, and I was so looking forward to this call, knowing that having the support of it being maybe okay, that's where it is, just feels reassuring.
It does, doesn't it? And I just love that thing of course it's okay to be here because I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be okay, that because it is what is. What, how silly it would be to have that to put any energy into that's not okay.
Yeah, and it flushes out that conditioning of someone likes to do things really well, and she feels like she's really gotten behind and things are falling apart, and so not getting identified with the one that feels like she's done something wrong.
Yeah. So not listening to the standards, but just simply continuing to show up.
Yeah.
Which is such a great metaphor for facilitating, isn't it? Because we don't want any standards in facilitating. We want to just simply show up and be there for whatever arises.
Yes.
Yep.
Good. Thank you.
Great.
This is so helpful. Thanks so much.
Jen, this is Penny.
Hey, Penny.
So looking at the question of when we turn to conditioning for guidance, and I had an experience recently where I received feedback on a facilitation, and what I caught myself doing was that I'm an Enneagram 5, and where I went with the feedback was, the feedback was by email, and where I went was, well, okay, I think I know what's being pointed to, so I'll just deal with this myself. And the offer was made of some guidance about it, and my first reaction was, no, I don't need guidance. I got it. I'll look at it myself, and then I'll get back to you. And fortunately, I caught that, and as a result, said, no, this is the point where I really need guidance.
Boy, that is such a clear example of it, because there's that movement that I'm gonna go to conditioned plan to get guidance on this.
Right, and it's hard to see because it's such skin, it's such a style. Of
yeah,
the
right.
And
yeah.
And so, I went there for a while, and then kind of got no, that's not the place. Splendid isolation is not the place to go here.
Yeah, exactly. Isolation is not the place to go. Yeah, I can't remember in what context. It feels like in several recently that Sherry's talked about doing kind of the opposite of what we tend to do. So for you, it sounds like the habit, the skin would be, I can manage this on my own. You know, I can take care of this. And so simply because you realize, you see that pattern, to go in the other direction consciously and say, nope, I'd like some help with this.
Yeah. And the help was very helpful. And and I had not posted that on the blog either. I hadn't gotten last time that we were to do that each time. But I think that was just part of it, that I hadn't, again, it's like I'll deal with it myself. So I will also post it on the blog.
Right. That's great. That's great. Thanks, Penny.
Yep.
Hi, this is Lori.
Lori?
Yeah. Hey, Jen. What is a question that has to do with this, where I don't facilitate often, and that now I'm learning about how to use the blog, so I will do entries there. I was also, though, this week something happened for myself that was related to my work, and noticing how conditioning was really, really taking it on, and then, so it was more my facilitation of myself, and I thought, I wonder if I could enter that onto the blog, something like that goes on, where noticing the process and noticing sort of the disidentification from it and entering that as my facilitation practice.
Yeah, it seems so to me, for sure. I mean, that's one of the amazing side benefits of people who step up to do practice at this level and commit at this level, is that we have this kind of support available to us. So I don't know what other people think, but for me it seems perfectly appropriate use of the blog.
Yeah, it sure seems
so
to me, especially in the light of that conversation a little while ago about how we can practice being facilitators all the time, because really we're facilitating life. It's fun to think
about
the program in a formal setting being practice for something even beyond that, instead of the end. You know, we're practicing to facilitate life as we experience it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lori.
Hey, Jen, it's Bob.
Hey, Bob.
So I was looking at this recently. I had this other group I'm involved in, And I could just see that in some interaction I was having with that group, that conditioning, what I was looking to conditioning. and I saw that there was this belief that, I don't know, there was just no way out of that. You know, that I couldn't in that moment really, I don't know, essentially facilitate myself through it. And so I did what I thought was the next best thing, which was to just to back out and stop that interaction with the group, because it wasn't working for me. I couldn't imagine that if it wasn't working for me, it was working for them.
Right.
And so in a situation like that, that is where, you know, I'm looking to conditioning. And I find that, you know, it's something like where I've made a commitment to practice, or where I've made, say, you know, like it's really easy with my son to get to that place. It's much easier to look to the heart and to look to center for guidance.
You're saying that in interactions with your son, it's easier to get to the place of looking to your heart?
Yeah, in situations like that, or situations where I'm essentially accountable to practice.
Sort of like someone was talking about earlier, I think it was Marie, around that being on the cushion, facilitating in front of a group, the stakes are so high in a sense that I'm required to be present. And so it's much easier in a sense to do it. And then in some other situations where that's not true, it's more challenging.
Right.
And so in the situation with this other group that you're involved with, which sounds like it's not practice-based, when you realize that you were looking to conditioning for guidance and you couldn't really see the alternative to that, you couldn't see a place of coming from center, you decided to kind of remove yourself from the situation.
Yeah, and it actually, you know, to me, now that I'm looking at it a little bit closer, it seems like that was actually a really good decision for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, because on the one hand, I get beat up for that decision. So, well, I'm not something that I can't somehow participate and not be doing it from a place of conditioning. But there is a kindness around it, I think, that, and it is a big movement to, like, move out of participating in that group from a place of conditioning to realizing I just need to kind of take care of myself and not have them have to deal with this conditioned person.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because where did the guidance to kind of the insight to step out of it come from, if not from center?
Right.
You know, so it's just funny because there I am. I mean, when you first said, I saw that I was looking to conditioning for guidance, and then I couldn't see, you know, another perspective. That was such an interesting kind of moment because if I realize that I'm looking to conditioning for guidance, the chances are that I'm fairly disidentified, which it sounds like I'm projecting may have opened you up for the insight of, ooh, you know what might be the best call in this situation is just to step out.
Right, yeah. And it also seems like, so once that shift is made, a lot more is possible.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Seeing clearly the whole, well, for one, stepping out of believing that any of the content means anything, because when I am looking to conditioning in that place, figuring it out is what it's all about.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So when I'm looking to conditioning, it's all about figuring it out, and I can get in kind of a spiral of just figuring it out, and it loops back on itself.
Right. Thank you.
If you're in a situation where you can step out, that might be the best thing to do.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, maybe that's a good place to stop, actually, because we're just about at the end of our time. I actually don't have my calendar with me. I can't remember when our next call is. Tony, can you remind us?
What I had, a tentative one for July 2nd, July 10th.
And then July 10th, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to get back, folks, on July 2nd. We have an event we're doing, and we're not sure if we're going to be able to fit it in or not. Good. Well, how about for this next week, as far as homework goes, why don't we continue with that topic? I think it's a great topic, and continue to look at that. And then to get going more officially on the blog and in the way we were talking about earlier, and you know, just kind of communicate through the blog up until we have our next call.
Great.
Hey, Dave, can I do one quick question?
Yeah.
I just went onto the facilitator's page, and there's no button that says create post on my computer. So I'm wondering if any of the Apple know if there's a different spot.
Could be. Anybody
Dave,
know?
Dave, this is Alex. I wonder if Tracy's logged on. Does she know how to log on?
Oh, I don't know how to log on.
Just visiting the blog without logging on, then you can't add anything.
Oh, good point,
do
Alex.
Do I have to sign in?
Do. You have to put in your username and password.
In the sign-in spot.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All of us, right?
Sorry, I missed that.
I think the username and the password is the same for all of us. We all use
right.
the same.
All of correct. As
you
far
know
as
what
I
is
know.
It? What is it?
It's the username is facilitate you.
Letter U.
So the word facilitate with the letter U at the end. And then the password is 14 F-O-R, all. So O-N-E F-O-R-A-L-L.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, Tony, that would be, maybe we could send a separate email to everybody just with that information, because that is critical information, just to make sure everybody,
okay.
I know I've gotten it before, but make sure people have that, because, of course, without that, you're sunk.
Yeah, I'll send that out.
Okay, super. All right, well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for your time today. Really a pleasure talking to you, as always, and we'll look forward to the next time.